Let's together recite the homage to the fundamental wisdom of the Middle Way on page 183. I prostrate to the one who teaches that whatever is dependently arisen does not arise, does not cease, is not permanent, is not extinct, does not come, does not go, and is neither one thing nor different things. I prostrate to the perfect Buddha, the supreme of all who speak, who completely dissolves all fabrications and teaches peace.
I will now continue to give the reading transmission for the verses on the 16 emptinesses on page 201. Starting with the 13th emptiness, the emptiness of all phenomena.
Kamjo jeda regrogdan, teleson, chodrogdan, zukjin mendeyi, duzen duma, sechunam, chute dana tamjeje, teda kiwi toni kang.
Let's recite together.
The 18 potentials, the 6 types of contact, and from those 6, the 6 types of feeling, all that has form and all that does not, the composite and the non-composite, these compose all phenomena. All of these phenomena are void of themselves. This is the emptiness of all phenomena.
Tuni chugyeba la doten jehe tundu zun sun yeba le jehe de yare tata changa jabu kapso jehe de he na tene changa jayala tuzu shirato kri tisa na doten da jehe ni dire zonron la so ngume kan tene rang chen tong ba ni dorten.
In the 14th emptiness, the emptiness of defining characteristics, there are 3 sections that the commentary identifies in the root verses. First, a brief introduction, and then the extensive explanation, and finally, the concluding verse. And the extensive explanation, as you can see, has about 14 verses where it lists, gives the defining characteristics of the phenomena of samsara and nirvana, and that takes a long time to go through. So for the sake of ease, I've left those out of the book and just put in the introduction and the summarizing conclusion, which gives a good overall idea of this emptiness. So let's recite the first, the 2 lines from verse 201, which are the introduction.
The non-existence of entities such as suitable to be form and so forth is the emptiness of defining characteristics.
kāngyīng dūzhēn cīnyī dāng, nūma sēpēn cīnyī kāng, tētē kōnē tōngbānyī, tēnā rāng cīnyī tōngbānyī.
And the concluding verse, all composite and non-composite phenomena have their own individual defining characteristics. These are all empty of themselves, and this is the emptiness of defining characteristics.
Dene rang tsini tongpa nyin di tsini dan tsunsa nyile, dene tsini am dagi rang ngubu matrapa tembara.
From among the two, the defining characteristics and the name given that is defined by those characteristics, you could also say the actual object that is the basis to which a name is given and the name that is given to that object. This emptiness is about the object, the defining characteristics themselves, showing that these defining characteristics are empty of their own
essence.
Fifteenth, the emptiness of the imperceptible.
The present does not abide, the past and the future do not exist. Wherever you look, you do not see them. So the three times are called imperceptible. The imperceptible is empty of its own essence. It does not remain, it does not cease, and this is the emptiness of the imperceptible. The 15th
emptiness teaches that time does not have any inherent nature.
Jurupa ngobo mebe ngoni doboni jinle songser ngo namlan doba ba ye ngomi doba pa ne teni je toni ngomi toni to.
16th is the emptiness of an essence in the non-existence of things.
Since things arise from causes and conditions, they are mere collections that have no essence. This non-existence of collections is empty of itself, and this is the emptiness of an essence in the non-existence of things.
These 16 emptinesses are then summarized into four, the first of which is the emptiness of things.
In short, things are everything included in the five aggregates. These are empty of themselves, and this is the emptiness of things.
Second, the emptiness of the absences of things.
In short, absences of things are all non-composite phenomena,
absences of things are empty of themselves, and this is the emptiness of the absences of things.
Somba rangin tomba nin, rangin ngowo nimi ne, rangin kizhe toni de, derda rangin mazebe, rangin kina savrini.
Third, the emptiness of the true nature.
Phenomena's true nature itself has no essence. This is the emptiness of the true nature. It is called true nature because no one created it.
Yeba yinju ngubu tongba nina. Sanje namnan yunga mazong yano ngusuna. Ngubu kunju tongba nina yinju ngubu rabdoda. Yanda tata dekini teki ngubu tongita.
Fourth, the emptiness of the other entity.
Whether or not Buddhas appear in the world, the natural emptiness of all entities is proclaimed to be the other entity. Other names for this are genuine realities, ultimate limit and suchness. These are the emptiness of the other entity. These 20 emptinesses were taught extensively in the sutras of transcendent wisdom.
Now I have completed giving you the reading transmission for the 16 emptinesses and the 4 emptinesses, making 20 in all. Now, if you have any doubts, then please ask questions. If you can keep your questions concise, then that would be good.
Yeah. When to, yeah. Yeah.
Da kachu di yabore yine yang gadi gi mota dabore. Gadi gi mota gi kola mambo lapcho na yang gadi kande tango gido hako gimendo. Dene danda kachu di tso kande nyamsulen go gido.
Nyamsulen zote tambo ngartu manyong bade sattu tu go gore, sattu tu na tebe hirare. Tuba tanjing yi chega mare yang ni yang do hirap je cheba zogre yang ni yang do hirap je cheba zo ning hi chegre ngi hi tembo che na ten ngi hi te ngang do yabre ngi hi te ngang do ra ob do yabre yatore dordu da bola.
The way to put these teachings into practice is to follow the stages of listening, reflecting, and meditating. First, one has to listen to teachings that one has never heard before. And once one has heard the teachings, then one has to reflect on their meaning, analyze them, go over them. The point of doing that is to come to certainty in the meaning. And then the way to meditate is to just rest within that certainty. Once one has made one's certainty stable through analysis and reflection, then just relax within that certainty. That is how to cultivate the certainty in meditation. In brief, that's how to do it. And furthermore, if one gains certainty in the view following the teachings of the Middle Way Autonomy School, or the Svatantrika Madhyamaka, then one gains certainty that the true nature of all phenomena is mere emptiness, like space. And one rests within that certainty of the abiding nature of reality being mere emptiness, like space. The way to meditate according to the autonomy school is taught by Jamgon Kongtro Lodur Tai in his Treasury of Knowledge, in which he says, first analyze, and then, according to the autonomy school, rest in the complete negation of everything that is like space. First, we use our precise knowledge to analyze and determine that there is nothing that truly exists. And in this total refutation of everything, what is called a non-affirming negation, because it just refutes the existence of all phenomena, mere emptiness, like space, within that, just relax. And Lodur Tai describes the meditation according to the consequence school in the following way.
Which is the consequence school?
The Prasangika. Pardon me?
You know the Indian names here, more than the...
Prasangika.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. He says, according to the Prasangika, the object of meditation, essential reality, and the meditating mind are undifferentiable, like water poured into water. So what the consequence or Prasangika school does is to demonstrate that the true nature of reality is beyond any concept of what it might be. And when one understands that, then with one's meditating mind, one stops coming up with conceptual fabrications about the true nature of reality. One stops fabricating projections. And at that point, then, essential reality is beyond concept, and the mind meditating on it is not contriving anything about it, and therefore essential reality and the meditating mind within this transcendence of conceptual fabrication are undifferentiable, like water poured into water. According to the autonomy school, the Svatantrika, then one still has a fixation on the nature of reality being emptiness, that is, this non-affirming negation, this complete negation of everything. By the time one gets to the consequence school, the difference is that one's clinging to even this non-affirming negation has dissolved, and one rests in the certainty that the true nature of reality is beyond any concept of what it might be. So these are the steps that you go through.
Tekpa chenpo juu lama soli xeba tar, yendong go gomso te,
And Jamgon Lodertaye continues, according to the Shentong tradition, rest in the great non-conceptual luminous clarity. According to the Shentong, which takes its teachings from the Buddha's descriptions of the true nature of reality in the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, the teachings on the Buddha nature and the treatise called the Gyulama about the Buddha nature, then the mind in its true nature is described to be luminous clarity. One gains certainty in that and rests within it. Here now, our main topic is the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, and therefore it's not necessary at this point to talk about luminous clarity, the true nature of mind described in that way. But since you all have probably received lots of meditation instructions about how to rest in the mind's true nature of luminous clarity, then I just wanted to mention it briefly to round out the picture. It's like that. Second question. Duma jepe chue karare.
Duma sepe chue te sosor tango hisawa te hirab je panza pamba hirab la tene danzen so panza la trobe chate la gyagre sosor tango sigre. Sosor tamen je goba te ye kang na kang meba pe na
Non-composite phenomena are instances of non-existence. And there are basically three. The first one is called, it's all described in the book too, but the first one is called the cessation that is the result of analysis. So this refers to how it is that when you have direct realization of the true nature of reality to some degree, then that realization, which is a result of analyzing with prajna, eliminates certain things, certain stains or mental afflictions or obscurations which are to be abandoned, and that the non-existence of those obscurations in the mind stream of one who is analyzed is this cessation that is the result of analysis. So it's non-existence that is the result of, that is the product of using discriminating knowledge to analyze the true nature of reality. Then the second is cessation that is not the result of analysis. So that just means when you observe in any place the non-existence of something. So for example, on Rinpoche's table, there's no elephant. So the non-existence of an elephant on Rinpoche's table is an instance of non-existence that is not the result of our analysis. It's just that there's no elephant there. And then the third one is empty space. Empty space is just the non-existence of anything else. That non-existence is not something created by causes and conditions, because there's nothing there to be created by causes and conditions. So that's the final non-composite phenomenon. And all of these are empty of their own essence as well. According to the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, then composite and non-composite phenomena exist in mutual dependence. In order for there to be composite, there must be an idea of non-composite. In order for there to be non-composite, there must be composite. So one depends on the other, but the other depends on the first, and therefore neither one of them truly exists. And since neither of them truly exists, then their appearance in relative reality, we can understand, is just dependently arisen, mere appearance.
Tene mlam dan chepare mlam do tene namkha tongba tongba nawa la tene no da chuje nawa hyagre no chuje nawa la tene tute namkha tongba nawa yore penje durobri duru yimesena nyega ma roba tene hile la ore mlam de perwa.
It's just like in a dream. You can perceive in a dream that within space, there are appearances of the physical environment and the sentient beings who inhabit that environment. For there to be an appearance of these sentient beings and physical environment, there has to be some space. But for there to be space, there has to be some contradistinction to that, which is the sentient beings and the environment. And so the appearance of the space and of the things and beings who inhabit it are only dependently existent. The example, if we think of the example of the dream, it's easier to understand. It's also like in a dream, if you dream of a cup, then if there's no empty space inside your cup, no matter how nice it is, that cup isn't of much benefit. Or you could dream of having a nice car, but if there's no space inside the car, then the car isn't of much benefit. In this way, we dream of things and absences of things. We dream of existence and non-existence together. In the same way, since everything in samsara and nirvana is dependently arisen, dependently existent, none of it truly exists. And all of these things which do not truly exist and do exist as dependently arisen mere appearances. And that is why in their nature they are free from the extremes of realism and nihilism. It's like that. Other questions?
One, two. Jumbo Jumbo.
Yeah. Actually, talking the teachings about not shunning or controlling or changing emotional defilements. But for someone like me who has no real insight and no meditative stability, if I don't try and control my emotional defilements, then I will continue to perpetuate unskillful actions. So what should someone
Nyunmong tang nam to gadrub zo go gimendo. Yinayang ngarang la tokpa mendo. Dene ngarangi nyunmong gakpa magyapna. Dene ngarangi chupa ngemba zogire. Dene ngarang dabo yina kande zogogido.
Nyunmong dang namdo la gadro mazobate nelog lare. Nelog tun tambar. Nyumung ke nelo yang terpatang traware, namto ke nelo yang terpatang traware, yang besena, dene nelo la gadop zoya mato. De kunzup to mare, kunzup to dene ngemba tor zambolaya, de chekware, ina yang nelo la gadop zoya mewar. De chepar se kodo.
When the teachings instruct us not to try to stop anything or create anything, then that is connected with the true nature of the disturbing emotions and the concepts that arise. Because the true nature of the kleshas, the disturbing emotions and thoughts, is beyond any concept of what it might be. And therefore, there's nothing actually there that needs to be adopted or rejected, stopped or created, because it is all beyond concept. So that's in connection with the true nature of reality. But we need to distinguish that from relative appearances, because if you talk about appearances, then of course we want to do things that are beneficial and avoid doing things that are harmful. This is the distinction we have to make between whether we're talking about appearances or the true nature of appearances.
Pena malam do malam ngo hina hirap jin je malam ngo hina malam je na wa de na na do yin mi be se na gadrup zo ya ma do gadrup le ne be ngi hi yu yin do de ne Tanyi do gadu zogre ra namkantung namkantun bolam por. Dene drurjur zabala zoba la soba. Dene namtoke nang zangje, dende zangje gadu zoye yure. Dende wuhi kukla.
For example, if someone with prajna, with knowledge of the true nature of reality, dreams and knows that they are dreaming, then that person will realize that the dream appearances are all appearance and emptiness, and that therefore there's nothing really that needs to be stopped or created. At the same time, that person will perform the practice of transformation and emanation and do things like fly in the sky and all kinds of other things, which conventionally involve stopping some things and creating others, knowing that all of that is just mere convention. It's just mere appearance. So that's the difference that we have to be aware of.
Gadrup heba teya umilo la namju sigre na hirap ju chobare namju re uman ju bale parden dawa trape so su chibo namne tokbe chen moto namju pa na dor jorbe Tono lokwar churba kainba number chepen devor kenam yesumbare. So the chevo nam namdoka travala tsuitin chingdure namdole depen papa nam namdole trovare tisena namdole trove tapkare. Then a namjo la ralevare. Namjo and tarsende then a number motobe Lantong on the jona then a namjo gogumudo then namjo zotarver. Pena king in trout at Dunne, then a meman badge part of Zora Hook cheer tangudo. Savochon to young Asojan and Bargamare, Hook cheer tangudo. Men Bartana, Hang Dargumdo, Yayan, Hang Korayan Bandore, then I namjuji here to tenderware.
We have to, as beginners, engage in a certain amount of stopping or rejecting and creating in the sense of engaging in analysis. Analysis involves proofs and refutations, proving what is the true nature of reality, refuting true existence. And this is essential. As Chandrakirti writes in his Entering the Middle Way, ordinary sentient beings are bound by their concepts. Non-conceptual yogis and yoginis are free. And what is the cause of this freedom? Thorough analysis. Thus the wise ones have taught. So as an ordinary sentient being, we are bound by our conceptual projections, taking our conceptual projections to be truly existent is what keeps us bound in samsara. Whereas yogis and yoginis don't make those conceptual projections, and so they are free from that bondage. So how does one stop making these conceptual projections? The only way is to thoroughly analyze and gain certainty what is the true nature of reality. And then, when you've done that, and you have direct realization of it non-conceptually, you don't need to analyze anymore, because you have moved into the realm of direct experience. Until we get to that point, we need to analyze. And an example for how this works is the example of rubbing two sticks together. If you want fire, you have to rub the sticks, especially when the sticks start to get warm. You can't just stop rubbing the sticks when they get warm, or you won't get any fire. In fact, at that point, you have to rub even harder than before. But once you get the fire, then you don't need to rub the sticks anymore. The fire just burns up the sticks naturally. It's like that.
Nangdan Nanzen dan tonzen je meyer de rangin je madoba yang je base, tene makba mepang an yakore. Nanzen dan tonzen hek de nanzen dan tonzen le drona, do tam je semso chebare, do seru de yomare, tene hirab je paradisim belola, namdoke yovasu dole yare, nanzen dan tonzen je namdo de do yemesena, tene nanzen dan tonzen le drona.
Machik Labdrin sang, when you are free of the arrogance of clinging to appearance or to emptiness, all demons are cut through within the mind, and mind itself is free in the unborn expanse. We can have basically two kinds of clinging. One is clinging to appearances, clinging to existence. The other is clinging to emptiness, clinging to non-existence. And both of these types of clinging are obscurations that prevent us from directly experiencing the true nature of reality, which is the union of appearance and emptiness. So when we still have those two types of clinging, we have conceptual fixation. So how do we liberate ourselves from that? It is to analyze. When we see ourselves clinging to appearance, then analyze the object of that clinging. What is it that we're clinging to? When we see ourselves clinging to emptiness, then analyze the object of that clinging. Try to find this object. Realize that in both cases, the object doesn't truly exist. When we can analyze and find that out, then the clinging naturally dissolves. And at that point, free from clinging, when we rest free from all conceptual fixation, all reference points. Then she sings, all demons are cut through within the mind. This is the teaching of Prajnaparamita, which is that there is no demon, nothing harmful on the outside, but rather demons only exist in the mind. Demons are the movement of thoughts which are making conceptual projections that we take to be truly existent. And when we are free from these, making these conceptual projections, then all demons are cut through within the mind. What about mind? Mind is itself is free in the unborn expanse. The unborn expanse is the expanse of genuine reality beyond conceptual fabrication. And whenever an event in the mind arises, it is that expanse, that unborn expanse itself. And when it is liberated, it is liberated as that unborn expanse itself. And so it is taught to be, mind is taught to be self-arisen and self-liberated.
Tene loma tolayan, tony churuk de turn churuk sene, tene damanan gonjipe loju.
Machik Labdrin, as I told you yesterday, attained her realization as a result of studying and meditating on the Buddha's teachings in the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Prajnaparamita Sutras. And the way that she taught her students to practice was based on the 16 emptinesses. She taught them to make one meditation session out of each emptiness and practice in that way. In the same way, if you like to meditate on emptiness, then it would be very good for you to do the same thing, to make one meditation session for each emptiness, to recite the verse or verses connected with that emptiness again and again during the meditation session, and then to rest in meditation and to alternate like that. And that's an excellent way to do it.
Tandurdunam nelo la gadro mebadam. Gadrop the lander minaya, tani do gadrop the lander yoba dekigur. Dekarjimur.
In short, in genuine reality, there is nothing to adopt and nothing to reject. Conventionally, there is adopting and rejecting. And we need to be able to see the difference.
Bena jarba gojambi, zatong pusum soba da zermi tibar dobani.
As Gyalwa Gotsangpa sings, having the finest food and drink and living in hunger without nourishment, these distinctions don't exist in the pure expanse. So how joyful, how happy, sudden victory. The difference that exists in relative reality between the thought of having wonderful food and drink on the one hand and not having anything on the other hand, that doesn't exist in genuine reality. In the pure expanse, there is no difference between having good food and not. But from the perspective of our own relative appearance, we much prefer to have good food and drink than to be hungry. And we need that good food and drink in order to survive. So this is the difference between apparent conventional reality and genuine reality.
Tini malam daya nga tso, zatong pusom tso pala gagandu, zarmi tso pala dhe pala gagandu.
Even in a dream, we like to have good food and drink, and we don't like to sit there hungry without any food to eat.
Tini malam ngo chi na ya, zatong pusom tso pala gabo yore, sana kandedo, trova yapo kandedo, takre.
Even if you dream and you know you're dreaming, you still like to eat nice food. You like to see what it tastes like, what the flavor is like when you know you're dreaming. It's like that. Now what questions do you have? Ngatso chiatang drenba kande sungo gido. Ngatso nangwa la namchu zogo gido. Dene sem momba yengna dene namchu zotu kimendo. Dene drenba kande sungo gido.
Drenba te gomja bakapso sengwa. Rikpa tangcha mai pa sangwa sarwa nyanche maa simpa mokpa nyitan trepa thapa singto. Singmuk thapa sona lune sang, mikto santhang na thosa la ta, rani chikwari na trakache la mik naungka la ta, lune song mik naungka la ta, semla hukki ngarchi sarcha chikukto.
Tene jitopla kande sungu widho.
Jitopla?
Lare.
Jitopla da jitopla gonsor mandaba yore tene ma yeng ba temba yeng yeng ten go go wa
na sir well if you're actually practicing meditation at the time then there are it is said three states which are three degrees of losing one's awareness. The first one is called dullness, where your mind lacks brilliance. The second one is called torpor, where your mind lacks clarity. And the third is drowsiness, where you're actually falling asleep. So if you're meditating and that happens, then the thing to do is to straighten your body, to look up into the sky, and to make your mind strong and bright and clear. Bring energy to your awareness. And that will dispel the dullness and leave your mind alert and mindful. If you're in a post-meditation phase of just doing whatever it is that you do, then basically there are different methods taught, but the basic method is that we just have to keep reminding ourselves of what the true nature of appearances is. And by reminding ourselves again and again, then our alertness will get more stable.
Tene temba la duze je temba se je de nam do re be to re re sam sam ying re sam sam ting re duze je temba de tene ta duze je temba ma yin ba se ba la rang go som go som la tanda takje tango do yeng song ta go do tene rembe tsunmi je temba se je de be tsur me be temba yong war he par tene thorn ro do lön je tro be temba se yare tam tambo le tambo pala do se je temba re
there are different types of mindfulness the first is called composite mindfulness, meaning that it's the product of causes and conditions, mainly the causes and conditions of our own effort. Because as a beginner, we can remember, but then we forget. We get distracted. So then we have to remind ourselves again, remind ourselves to analyze again, and remember the results of our analysis again. And then that, when we get experience with that, transforms into non-composite mindfulness or effortless mindfulness, which doesn't require the same type of conceptual premeditation or effort. And then the last kind is called spontaneously present mindfulness.
Pena le dambo bena rangla ngaja thado yin la noi sem sue sem den da bu nam do ti gen do yang de ba san ba ni ji zhe be sem ti gen do rangla nam do zang en kan de ji ti gen do de da ji ro zo.
As a beginner, first we just have to be basically aware of what kind of thoughts we're thinking. Do we have pride, jealousy, maliciousness, an intent to kill? What's happening in our mind? Or on the other hand, do we have faith, love, compassion? Like that. We have to be aware of the thoughts that we're thinking.
Lai sanang la mekpa te gondo, sanang te ji sunga, lai jirim je mekpa ji sunga tayare, te le la vura. Yang yang ni yung do sartav kukuduwa, gom kukuduwa.
When you're practicing generation stage of a yidam deity, then what you need to do is keep your visualization clear. So we need to check, is my visualization clear or not? And we need to refresh our visualization again and again. That's pretty easy to see how it is and to know what to do.
Then la gomba kapso ngaden korwa dan wese tro de la soba dela deni dele yin song ta yore dele la wore yin song na ngaden korgo mare wese tro ma dele la.
And when you're meditating on the deity, then there are different things you have to do, like visualize the mantra rotating, circumambulating, and visualize rays of light emanating from the Yidam's enlightened form. And it's easy to see if you're distracted from that or not, because if you're distracted, then the mantra is not going to rotate and the light's not going to emanate.
Take the Tony to Gomtava in a Ranga Tony, Tony La Nyambar Japa Tele Yensong Tajuro. Jitop the Inna Jitop Jumantava Temba de Kate Tengado, Kate Yensong Tajuro. That do you know, Mara? Kate Tengado, Kate Yensong Tendabo Tajuro.
When we meditate in emptiness, then we just rest in meditative equipoise in our certainty of emptiness. And we can see, am I doing that or not? Am I distracted from that or not? When you get up in post-meditation, then the practice is the samadhi that sees everything to be illusory. And we can see, am I remembering that everything is illusory or not? That's not something that we'll do all the time, but we can see, we can check and see, am I distracted or not?
That's how the temple tower in a gom round up, Majibare. The gom round up lay your song and my own mason tagger. Round up the Namdoji Yona Namdoji Yona round up lay your worry. Then Namdong over the Chichi, the Gumanai, Lujiligger. They Joseph Hinale Labor.
The Ma Mudra instruction is to meditate simply by relaxing in your own basic nature and not contriving anything at all. So we can check, am I doing that or not? If I'm thinking a lot, then I have moved from relaxing in an uncontrived state and I've become distracted from that. If that happens, then just look directly at the thought's essence, and within that, let go and relax.
Then Zoba Jimbutawe, you know. Rekparan wap don Johare, Kada, Kada rekparan wable and Joba, you know. Then rekparan wable, your song. Rang only your song and Tagur. Your was song.
The Dzogchen meditation is to meditate in alpha pure awareness by just relaxing into the basic nature of alpha pure awareness. So we can look and see, am I doing that or have I moved from that?
Then it took her the Rāvayīna jācōng tēkli tēkṭiṃ xiāndu tēli tsē chēkta tēdi rāvabda jōpārē tē yēng sōnga tāyā lē lāvara.
If you're doing a practice like Tugal, then you're looking up into the sky at empty forms of rainbows and bindus and lots of other things that can appear. And you just focus one-pointedly on those empty forms and you relax. And you can see very easily, am I doing that or not? That's not difficult to find out. If you're looking up at all of these appearances of the bindus of light and the vajra chains and the rainbows, then if you're identifying them and saying, oh, there are some that are red and there are some that are blue and there are some that are yellow, wow, you're going like that, then that's a sign of fixation because you're conceptualizing. The instruction is not to meditate like that, but rather to rest free of fixation.
Then Kolo Barbu Gumba Tawina, Namdo Kandeti Yonaya, Namdo Rong Maba, Namdo Jenga Maba, Jingdurlen Debe, then Jingdurlen Debe, Tosam de Ramondo Jogre. Then Karayaka Tajinas.
The instruction according to the second turning of the wheel of Dharma is to see that whatever thought it is that arises, it doesn't come from anywhere. Doesn't go anywhere, doesn't arise, abide, or cease. There is no bondage, there is no liberation. So you can see for yourselves of the, which of these methods you like the best. And these are the different ways of making one's mindfulness and alertness stable.
Then go saje jebulo gomzor chela temba da hihinje temba je jona temba rangang ngang da ja namdo je chena namdo rangang ola je je de lo je lo zur de gomzor chegra gomzor samun yisare.
One way of meditating in Maha Mudra is to look at the very essence of mindfulness. When a thought arises, when a thought of alertness or introspection arises, then look at its essence and let go and relax. And that's a profound way to meditate. And the Maha Mudra mindfulness itself basically is like this. When, for example, a thought of anger arises in your mind, then just look straight at its essence and within its nature, which is luminosity, clarity, and emptiness, let go and relax.
Tamba memba drava, hirapta namjun tropa, semran hinji tropa la soba junting, tele dober, tene zepe yendin, zong zeba, hiram brava, tene hiram brava, jiba tamba drava la soba yendin, tene take it in brava. They conserve to take it in.
If you know how to rest in Maha Mudra like this, then this way of meditating is easy. If you find it difficult to do that, then follow the relative path, which is, for example, if you get angry, remember the faults of anger. It makes you ugly.
Ugly.
It lets everybody know that you're not a realized being when you get angry. It robs you of the ability to discriminate right from wrong. And it agitates your mind. And at the same time, remember the good qualities of practicing patience. It makes you beautiful. It indicates to everyone that you are a good practitioner. It increases your ability to judge a situation, and it leaves your mind in peace. It's like that. Now what questions do you have? Rela.
Oh yeah.
Dila Miji Gid Diwad Jason
Shogun.
So somebody wrote some questions down, but Rinpoche didn't ask for a written question, so he says that please ask your questions orally.
Yeah, Martin.
Attempting to think in the way you just described, to deal with the pressure of a situation, how to make decisions, how to relate to people, how to deal with ordinary everyday matters. Could you just say something about the if there is any advice on this, the idea of focusing on all these situations and matters as being empty, as having a void nature, and imagining clear, the pure clarity. Sometimes it seems somewhat remote from the realities of all these everyday things. And sometimes there's a bit of struggle there that goes on in dealing with responsibilities, dealing with these seemingly very solid situations. Is it, could you say something about developing confidence in that process and how, what the type of attitude one should really take in
Samsung ngatso lega gyape kapsu yana nangchang la jowa yope kapsu dene nangchu dene ngene demba dabo tanangido dene tongbani tang ursal de taringbo dabo re
ora
dene de la tene dene yiche ke kale kabodo
ora
yang dene ngarang ngene di tawa samo di net Nekabdila Jarwe Yiche Shukchenbo Mendo.
Ode.
Dene Dendavo Yena Dene Kande Django Vido.
Tengan Dravo Yena Tekpa Chembu Loda Dorje Tekpa Logi Chepar Sekore. Tekpa Chembu Lola Tsulam Jakabso Tso Sakpa Tsubure Dame Bata Tombania Lobjon Tosugre Yena Tso Sakpa Tsubure. Jolan Jacobs of Tene Tungba Neda Dama, but 20 sort of young Nian do Gomne, Tene Nikimper Cogodo. Tele Yan, Tekba Chimbulola, Jun Rambore, Sojola, Tene Carpatrame, Chicks a Hibare, Jun Rambo, Jun Ramba Tambase, Jun Ramba de Yagatere, Tekba Chimbulo, Jun Ramba Tambasegado, Sojo Nilayan, Trame, Song Yan, Trame, Carpatrame, Chihigre.
To answer this question, first requires that we distinguish between Mahayana and Vajrayana. If we're talking about it from Mahayana perspective, then the first path of the five paths which you progress on is the path of accumulation. So that means that you're mainly focused on benefiting others in any way you can. And you start to learn a little bit about emptiness and you study about emptiness, but you apply it gradually to your actions. And then only when you get to the path of junction, then you start really to the main thing you do is to meditate on emptiness, even though at that point it's still an abstract image. Your main focus moves from performing virtuous actions and accumulating merit to meditating on emptiness. And that eventually, the reason why it's called the path of junction is it joins you eventually with direct realization. So these first two paths are the paths of ordinary individuals. And in the Mahayana, then it's explained that the time one spends on these two paths together is 10 to the 59th eons. So that's a long time. And what that indicates is that it's a gradual path. And so there's no sense of a rush, right? We proceed gradually. And that actually, that it takes a...
59. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that it takes this long is considered to be good. It's considered to be positive that it's something that takes a long time. In the Mahayana, the length of the path is not a fault, it's a quality.
Deva chung chung re, deva yang member khe pare. Thikpa chenpo tene tanda karpa trame som la sopa la so, so sakpa se na yun rungwa tamba, sen deva yun rungwa tamba. Sanje je kompa ta chepar ta papa khe pare.
Lasa.
Thikpa chenpo khe sa.
For example, according to the path of the Shravakayana, then you can achieve arhathood in 3 lifetimes or 7 lifetimes. And so you don't spend very much time and you don't attain a great result. But in the Mahayana, the result is so great, it's the ultimate perfect realization of Buddhahood that it takes 3 times 10 to the 59th eons to get there. And so that's very good that it takes that long.
Tena sanjuk samba sama se de pavda pavi kheba te yam mojo wa danda drowan tha ye ba simjin thamje je don se par ta je ba re simjin tha ye ba pa de me ba re simjin je dang la mojo ba pa wo da tarpa dang me som da den da simje tsab den la cho sa go ba la simjo wa me ba da Goda yela jimba tumata, drabu ke kya rupa ne tumpa che na yang chowa mapa, tenda wala hyomba mapa, yuna tene sanjo sabha se, pavita hi te jagarwa.
The one who follows the path of the Mahayana is a bodhisattva. And in this name, bodhisattva or Jangchup Sempa, in Tibetan, the last part of it means heroic, brave. So there are explained that there are 3 kinds of bravery, courage, that one needs as a Mahayana practitioner. The first kind is one promises to lead all sentient beings to the state of complete and perfect enlightenment. How many sentient beings are there actually? Limitless. You can never count the number of sentient beings that there actually are. We promise to help every single one. So not to be discouraged by the number of sentient beings we have promised to benefit is the first kind of bravery we need. The second is the bravery that doesn't get discouraged and thinking that this path takes 3 times 10 to the 59th eons to complete. So not to be discouraged by the amount of time. And finally, in order to benefit sentient beings, we, along the path, we'll find ourselves having to do lots of different difficult things, sometimes even giving up your limbs or your head in order to be of benefit to others. So not to be discouraged or frightened by what is required in order to benefit others, even if it's difficult, is the third kind of bravery. So if one wants to practice the Mahayana, these are the three kinds of bravery we need. If one is frightened or discouraged, if one does get discouraged or depressed or burned out or afraid of the number of sentient beings that we promise to benefit, or the length of time, the number of so many kalpas it takes, or the difficulty that one is required to endure, then one has an inferior mind. One has not a great mind, but an inferior mind. So, on this path, what is the method to use in order to prevent ourselves from getting burned out and discouraged? It is to realize emptiness. Because if we don't realize emptiness, at some point we will tire of all of this activity. We'll get burned out, and we won't want to benefit others anymore. These days, people who work in the helping professions, where they're working, benefiting other people, a lot of times they say that they get burned out after doing it for a long time. And that's exactly what we're talking about. For as long as one doesn't have the wisdom that realizes emptiness, then one will get burned out. And so to remedy the discouragement that can come at the thought of having to benefit limitless sentient beings, then one meditates on how samsara and all these sentient beings don't truly exist. In order to remedy the discouragement or the burnout one can feel at having to do this for a long time, one meditates on how the three times don't truly exist. The only way that you'll get tired from thinking about it being a long time is if you take the time to be truly existent. If you don't have any thought that the time truly exists, then there's no way to get tired. And if one hesitates or feels sad at the thought of having to give away one's head or one's limbs, then one has to meditate on the emptiness of defining characteristics, how characteristics and qualities have no essence of their own, particularly those of suffering. They have no essence of their own. That's how we
are.
That's how one has to meditate as an ordinary individual, When one becomes a noble, realized bodhisattva, then there's no discouragement or sadness at all. No tiredness at all from one's own side. One might display tiredness or sadness as a teaching out of one's compassion to others, but one doesn't feel that way oneself. It's like that. Now let's sing Milarepa's authentic portrait of the middle way. On page 205. From the standpoint of the truth that's genuine, there are no ghosts, there are not even Buddhas. No meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no suns, and no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate, inanimate, the three realms, unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not co-emerge. There is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's superficial is samsara's wheel, nirvana past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching, then what exists appearing to be things, and the non-existence reality that's empty are essentially inseparable one taste, and therefore there is neither self-awareness nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see pure wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see their essence. And out of this compassion just emerges retention, powers, fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized. When you realize this, whatever appears is mind. Throughout the day and night, look at your mind. When you look at your mind, you don't see anything. When you don't see anything, let go and relax. May we live long and be free of illness. Enjoy freedom, great resources, and happiness. Next life may we meet in the pure realm. May we always practice Dharma and benefit beings.
Tadumanze, Tunyi Ninji. Sungdirje nyamne gongdom berde dra danje be semjin tamje je semjin tamje la pemba drobne barjorje.
My parting aspiration prayer for you is that you progress in a better and better way on the path that brings together emptiness and compassion, and that through this you develop the ability to be of benefit to your friends, to your enemies, to all sentient beings.
Manjur lembo kuye tashishu yenatru ju sungge tashishu tadra dreme tuge tashishu gyalwe kusung toje tashishu
nende ne mondele tendele ne me goya Da du der